Welcome to Crappy Friends,
the podcast that discusses female friendships, the good, the bad, the ugly.
Girl power defeating bitchery since 2018.
I'm New York Times bestselling author Kristen Higgins.
And I'm USA Today bestselling author Joss Day.
And we're best friends.
It's like it's come home. It's so easy.
Yet. It's just landed.
It's really the there now for me.
Like, you know.
Yeah, next time we podcast, I'll fuck it up.
It's amazing. I believe in you. So, we have had a lot of mean girl letters recently.
What's going on?
Everyone's getting mean. Maybe it's just, like, too much pandemic time.
Too much quarantine inside. Too much togetherness.
Too much Delta variant.
Too much Delta variant. That's right.
We believe in science here.
We do.
Okay, so get vaccinated.
Yeah. Although, not Jeff Bezos. Sorry.
Jeff Bezos doesn't have to get vaccinated.
He just has the spaceship that looks a lot like a penis.
I saw it today, and I thought it was a joke.
So did I. I was like, isn't that a penis? That's just what
it's
it is.
Such a penis. Right? And then I guess he's back on Earth now.
Yeah.
And he thanked all the people who have ever shopped at Amazon and all his employees who don't get bathroom breaks.
Yeah, those people.
Jeff, if you can afford to go to space
in a penis,
then people can go to the bathroom.
They should be able to go to the bathroom.
They can go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
Back to the mean girls.
Yes.
Here's our letter this week. Hey, ladies. I am unsure of what to do after a big fallout with an ex-friend. This ex-friend of mine, let's call her Michelle, not her real name. She's a huge gossip and drama queen. She dumped me. I was not always nice to her because my patience ran thin with her gossipy ways and embellished stories, and I never communicated this clearly to her. I guess my frustration with her was not as hidden as I thought. Even though I am a private person, I chose to trust Michelle with a few stories of mine.
Uh-oh.
Big mistake, as she would use these against me. I'm working out my resentment in therapy, but this is still a fresh wound. Anyway, I have another friend, Stephanie, not her real name, whom I love dearly. Michelle and Stephanie did not become friends until more recently, and basically met through me as a mutual friend. I consider myself very close to Stephanie. The day Michelle dumped me, just hours before I got the long walk of text confronting me, she confided in Stephanie about everything she was feeling.
Oh.
She dumped a lot onto Stephanie. She listed old flames and exes of mine and their issues with me. These people are people that Stephanie does not know. This is why no one wants to be friends with DJ, Michelle said. Wow.
Oh.
Michelle even told Stephanie that she had befriended one of my ex-friends from a few years ago behind my back, and they had talked about me. I only know about this conversation between the two of them because Stephanie called me right after Michelle blabbed everything to her. I have since made peace with the fact that Michelle and I will not be friends. Good riddance. And I am working on my own insecurities about friendship. This, however, makes me wonder what I should do about Stephanie. I do trust Stephanie as a person, but is it wrong to want to distance myself from her, too? She technically didn't do anything wrong. I trust that she would not blindly fall into this smear campaign against me. She has mentioned that she and Michelle are still in contact, and this issue has been brought up before between the two of them, but I don't know what they discussed. Occasionally, Stephanie asks how I'm doing with the whole situation, and I'm afraid any honest answer expressing my anger or sadness will somehow get relayed to Michelle, who will somehow use it to slander my name even more. Thanks for listening to my dilemma, ladies. I appreciate your podcast. Signed, DJ.
DJ.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, good for you. You're clear that Michelle was a toxic friend.
Yes.
And you are done with her and you're in therapy. So, check, check, check.
Yeah, well done.
Regarding Stephanie,
yeah.
who I'm wondering if Stephanie predates Michelle.
I don't know, but
I think that might have something to do with how much you trust her.
Yeah.
You say that you feel very close to her, but you also know that she has talked to Michelle about you. Now, again, this might have been the kind of talk where where one friend is expressing concern about another.
Right.
So if Michelle said something like, DJ is such a pain in the ass, Stephanie might have said, like, I don't think so.
Yeah.
You know, we've been friends and I really like her. You don't know that. You don't know if it's been said out of concern or if it's gossip. You know Michelle gossips and you know Stephanie talks to a gossip. So my advice would be when Stephanie says, how are you doing with this situation? You say, well, I really appreciate you asking and I'm getting there.
Yeah.
I'm working on it and getting there. Thank you for your concern.
Yes. And
period.
You're done.
Yeah, that's it. Because if Stephanie is the kind of friend who is going to have your back and really be there for you, she'll keep showing up.
Right.
She's not just there for the drama.
Right.
She will want to talk about other things. She will keep contacting you and confiding in you. I would say that you should not talk about Michelle to anyone except your therapist.
Yes.
Maybe your mom, if you're close to your mom.
Yes.
But I feel like the more you put her in the box and take the box to the dump and throw it away, the better.
Yes. And I couldn't agree with that more. I think that's really important. I think I'm hoping that Stephanie is the kind of friend who, if Michelle brings you, DJ, up in conversation, Stephanie squashes that. Because right now she seems to be squarely in the middle of you two. And that's got to be an uncomfortable place to be, especially if you don't want to gossip about either person. So you not bringing it up with Stephanie also makes it easier for her not to have to bring it up with you, because there's no awkwardness there.
Yeah. And that kind of vague answer, thank you for asking, I'm working on it.
Yeah.
Lets her know that we're not going to talk about this.
This, we're done. So that if she does happen to be talking to Michelle, there's nothing to report.
Right. Right. Exactly my thought.
Yeah.
And, you know, one thing in Stephanie's favor is that when Michelle called her to trash you, she told you.
Yeah, yeah.
So she's not trying to keep the secret. A better thing for Stephanie to have done would have been, stop.
Yes.
She's my close friend.
Yes.
I am not comfortable hearing this.
Yes. That would have been the perfect thing.
However, a lot of people don't have these lines. They don't know how to stop it.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, one of the reasons that we did the podcast and wrote the book is because, you know, we tell you, you can say these things.
Yes.
Stop. I'm sorry. She's a very good friend of mine.
Yeah.
And I will not listen to this.
Yeah.
So Stephanie might not have been prepared for that. She might have not thought that line, but she did tell you.
Yeah.
You know, and it sounds like, in my interpretation of your letter, that she told you to protect you.
Yes.
But she's still friends with someone who was horrible to you.
Yeah.
And maybe it's like youth and drama and there's just a lot of churning going on in your social circle. But I would stick to neutral topics with Stephanie.
I agree.
And enjoy her company.
Yes.
And if this is as solid a friendship as you hope, time will tell.
Yeah. Yeah, I totally agree. I definitely think there's no need to talk about Michelle with Stephanie for any reason at all.
Yeah.
Ever.
Yeah.
Just don't even bring it up. And that hopefully will model the kind of relationship that you want to have with Stephanie, where you're not talking about something that happened in the past that, you know, you're dealing with yourself, that, you know, you're moving forward from.
Yeah. And you know, someday, maybe 10 years from now, you and Stephanie are still great friends and you're on a girls' weekend together. And she might say, like, whatever happened with you and Michelle?
Right.
Then, when you're past it.
Yes.
And it's no longer a throbbing wound in your life.
Yes.
You can say, well, you know, I was dumb and I thought this and, you know, but you're over it.
Right.
And it's past. And, you know, as hard as it is, these friendships, these crappy friendships are such lessons for how to live a good life.
I know,
You know? How to find good people.
Yes.
How to communicate clearly. How to stay away from the people who are going to bring you down.
Right.
How
to recognize the red flags.
Yeah.
Before you get yourself too deeply involved.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, it's tough now, maybe a little embarrassing, but I think they're doing the right thing, keeping Stephanie, just being as neutral about Michelle with her as you possibly can. Focus with Stephanie on nurturing the relationship you have with her.
Yes.
And leave Michelle out of it entirely.
And block Michelle on social media.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Because if Stephanie comments on one of her posts, you don't need to know that.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Stephanie may have to find out herself what kind of person Michelle is, you know?
That's true.
And, you know, in my situation where I was burned very badly by a friend, I wanted so much to, like, warn other people.
Right.
So say that I had Michelle, I was so tempted to like take Stephanie aside and say, be careful.
Right.
You know, this is what happened with me.
Right.
And I've seen the pattern and you can't do that though.
No, you can't.
People have to live their own lives.
Right.
Learn their own lessons.
Right.
And what's interesting about my situation with my version of Michelle was someone came up to me and said, I'm wondering if you went through the same thing that I went through with Michelle.
Right.
And I said, I was very classy. I'm like, I'm not really comfortable talking about that.
Right.
And I'm not exactly sure what you're saying.
Right.
And she said, well, let's just say I've been in your shoes.
Uh-huh.
And I thought, okay.
Yes.
Okay.
There are the bodies.
And I said, you know, I'm really sorry for your experience, and I appreciate you, like, acknowledging mine.
Right.
And that was it.
Yeah. Classy.
And this lady and I, still friends.
Yeah.
I think she's very classy, kind.
Right.
And the feeling is mutual, you know? And that's all we ever talked about it.
Right.
You know?
Right.
I think it was validating for her to see that it wasn't just her.
Oh,
this
sure.
This is the way that Michelle worked.
Right.
And it was definitely validating for me to know that I'm not the only,
one.
Best friend in the rearview mirror with tire tracks over her face.
Right, that's right. So I'm sure this Michelle has a lot of bodies in her wake of the people that she's dumped or hurt or who she says did her wrong in some way that probably didn't. So, it's right. This is a learning experience.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it's painful, but it's a really good learning experience. Teaching you about red flags and about evaluating friends before you jump in.
And measuring how you feel after you spend time with these friends.
Yeah, that's important.
You know, did you have a good time?
Yeah.
Why did you have a good time?
Right.
Did you feel, like, comforted, trusted? Did you laugh a lot? Were you having a good time because you were drunk and everyone was bitchy about this other girl? That's not really a good time, you know?
No, it's not. Or are you just glad to be home? You're done with being out and you're glad to be home?
Yeah.
That, too, is an indicator. If you don't want to, like, spend time with this person and would rather be home.
Yeah. I think when there's a person like Michelle in your life and she does these things, talks about you behind your back and you know, drops personal confidences to other friends, what they want is power.
Yeah.
And why they want it is because they're insecure.
Yes.
So they have the power, so you have to be friends with them because you're scared of them.
Right.
That's what a mean girl is about. It's thinking, no one's gonna like the real me. So, you know, I'm going to subconsciously, perhaps, have info on them.
Yes.
And I can use it against them, and I can be the one who knows and controls. Or the mean girl has been raised by mean parents.
Yes.
Who did the same thing.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
So, maybe it will help to look on Michelle with a little bit of sympathy, a little pity, perhaps.
That always helps me get over something.
This is the only way she knows how to make friends.
Right.
And she'll never have the kind of friendship that you have with perhaps Stephanie.
With maybe Stephanie. That's right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, reframing it that way is always helpful to me to get over it.
Yeah.
Because it helps to dampen the anger.
Right.
Even if you come up with a story that may or may not be true, it still helps to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. So take good care of yourself and keep up with Stephanie. And then, you know, if red flags start showing up with her, life is long. There's 7 billion people on this planet. You're going to find other friends. You deserve to be the best of friends and to have the best of friends.
Just keep an eye out for the red flags.
Yeah.
Take note.
And check yourself,
too. Yes, yes, yes.
And listen, I think you should buy our book.
Yeah. We don't usually pimp it like that.
Right.
But
in this case, I think there's a lot of, like, confusion and anger and hurt. And the book kind of lays things out.
Yeah,
very clearly.
And it's a nice little reference. You can always look back.
Yeah. And to all our younger listeners, I think, you know, I wish I had that book when I was in my teens, in my 20s, in my 30s, in my 40s, because that's how long it took for me
to figure it out,
you know, because I'm a very open person and I never want to make anybody feel marginalized or left out. So I would say, like, everyone come to be my friend.
Right.
And then I had to learn the hard way, like, you're allowed to be discerning.
Yeah, you
and
are.
And you can say, like, I don't have to be best friends with everybody in the room.
Right.
I get to choose.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Right, take care of yourself. Hey, Jess.
Yeah.
Do you have a personal problem you want to share?
Let me think.
I do have to say that I think your pedicure personal problem was an all-time great.
It was all-time high.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it was right up there.
The princess said she had to pull over. She was laughing so hard.
Well, the worst part about that is it's all true.
Or no, she was driving home and laughing so hard. She was like, you know,
tears.
Tears. Streaming. Yeah.
Yeah, the worst part is it's all true.
All true.
The
all
foot
true.
Crumbs
foot
in
crumbs,
her hair, picking it out, all the rest.
Yeah.
I don't have anything like that, although I do need a pedicure. stay tuned, listeners.
I yesterday decided that I should wax my eyebrows, and I prefer to do it myself, but it's so messy.
Yeah.
And so I got the little glob of warm wax, and I put it under my eyes, and I got it on my eyelid and glued my eyelid shut.
Nice.
And I had to wait till the wax cooled to pull it off my eyelid. And... Then, Joss.
Yeah.
I decided I should do the nostrils.
Why? Why?
Because once upon a time,
I
looked down at a mirror and was horrified by the little forest.
But I never noticed your nostrils.
That's because I take care of it now.
Well, should I get you a nose trimmer for Christmas?
No.
Didn't someone get you that for Christmas?
I already have one.
Did the reader or listener get you?
Somebody sent it to me. Anyway, back to my trauma of yesterday. I, to wax one's nostril, which is now offered at every spa that does waxing, every salon, European wax center, any place you go, they'll rip out your nose hair. It's just a standard menu item now.
Jeez.
So I thought, like, I'll do it. And you take this little popsicle stick, you swirl it in the wax, and then you just stick it in your nose and you kind of, like, rub it around the fore part of your nostril.
Yeah.
And then you wait till the wax is hard enough to pull out. And so that's always a really big countdown, right?
Yes.
Like, you know, you know it's going to hurt, like a punch in the face, but then your nostrils will be so clear and clean and youthful looking.
Yeah,
and
they'll be youthful.
So I waited till the wax was hard and I pulled it out, but half the wax stayed in.
Oh, God.
It wasn't out enough.
Oh, God.
So now I have wax in my nostril. And I had to try to remove. I had to get the tweezers and pull them out. It was so painful.
Oh, God.
Tears are streaming down my face.
Oh, God.
And then I did the other side.
God. Oh, God.
And the same damn thing happened. So I had to, like, you know, I'm sitting there slowly, agonizingly. The whole point about getting wax is, like, boom,
it's supposed
done.
To be fast.
You know?
Yeah.
No, not this. This was just, like... Oh, it hurts so much.
You know, I think I'm going to forego that kind of service.
Yeah,
I think I'm just going to let the nose hairs grow.
I'm ready to let it all go.
If it just grows, it'll grow right into the mustache, and it'll look nice. It'll be like the beginnings of the mullet, you know? Right?
Yeah.
The hairs on the chin will grow in a little bit. You'll have the whole thing ready to go.
Thanks for listening. Send your letters to theladies@crappyfriends.net. And please consider leaving us a review.
Crappy Friends is part of the Frolic Podcast Network. Find more podcasts you'll love at frolic.media/podcasts.
I'm Kristen Higgins.
And I'm Joss Day.
And we're best friends.
Forever.